morning, guys. I'm glad to finally be back together after such a long time. We're excited to finally do this again. It's so much different when we're all united and together and just giving him glory. So let's just all just stand up and let's just get ready to dive right into worship. Father, we just thank you, God. We thank you for letting us come back together, God. We thank you for protecting us during this time. We thank you for your beauty and constant glory, Lord God, in our lives, Lord God. Constant peace, constant mercy and grace in our lives, God. We're here for you and only you, God. We're coming back. Yes, it's great to see each other, Lord God, but we're here to give you glory. We're here to give you honor, Father God. We praise you this morning, Jesus. We're expectant from you, Lord God. We want to see you move in this place, Father God. As we say, we've come to give you glory together, God, as one church, united. And we praise you and lift you higher than everything. We let go of whatever we're holding on to this morning. And we give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name.
Bless
have your way. 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 Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and let all that's within me shout out, shout out. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and let all that's within me shout. We shout. Let's keep singing that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and let all that's within me shout. Welcome in this place. Welcome in this place. God, you're welcome in this place. Welcome in this place. Welcome in this place. Let's just welcome him this morning. Welcome here, God. Welcome here, God. All we want is you. And I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. I'll raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. And I'll raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. And I'll raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. In the middle of the storm, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up on the eyes, open your eyes. Tempest defeated, the king.
I'll raise a hallelujah. Oh, fear, you lost your hold on me. Gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. There is none, none like you who can know my heart like you do. For all creation sings your song, and I will join with them, declaring your glory. There is none, none like you, who can know my heart like you. For all creation sings your song, and I will join with them, declaring your glory. Oh. none like you. Who can know my heart like you do? For all creation sings your song, and I will join with them, declaring your glory. Met by love, we can lift our hands to heaven full of faith. Cause every time we worship, we see your face. We could run straight. that in all things you may have the first place, that in all things you may have preeminence.
Put me anywhere.
So put me anywhere. Just put your glory in me, and I'll serve anywhere. Just let me see your beauty. Put me anywhere. Just put your glory in me, and I'll serve anywhere. Just let me see your beauty.
This life we live is for your glory. Every breath is for you. The reason why we're alive is for your glory, God. Teach us to fix our eyes on you and not the things around us, not the things that our flesh desires, not the earthly things, God. let us fix our eyes on you, on the kingdom of God, because we live this life to glorify, to magnify you. May people look at us and look at you. May we have the same love that you have, Lord God. Use us for your glory, because there are so many people that don't know your beauty yet, God. And I pray we wouldn't be selfish and just say, we know him, but what about everybody else? So God, we give you glory starting today, Lord God. We give you glory and honor and praise. And we just thank you for what you're doing in this place. We thank you for gathering us here one more time. And we thank you for speaking to us and for speaking to us later today, Lord God. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name.
Morning, everyone. Am I on? I don't need this, right? No, seriously. No? Okay. That was a serious question. I wasn't joking. How are you guys doing? Good. We're gonna read from two parts today. So if you have your Bible, or if we have it here, let's start with Luke 23, and we're gonna go to verse 50, and why don't we stand together and read the Word of God? What do you think? It'll be a good idea, right? And just to get some energy and say hi to everyone. We miss everyone. I know you guys miss us, and we miss you, and you miss each other, and the whole nine yards. And finally, we're here again at church. Hopefully, this time in a couple of weeks, we don't have to shut down again. So, in Jesus' name, we're going to go forward. Amen? All right, so we're going to read from two parts today. We're going to read from Luke 23, and we're going to read from John 19. So Luke 23, verse 50, it says, "Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decisions and actions." He did not agree on the decisions to kill Jesus. He was not happy with that decision, okay? He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Verse 52, going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. Verse 55, the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. Now we're going to go to John 19, verse 38. Joseph of Arimathea, again, asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. Verse 39, he was accompanied by Nicodemus. You guys remember Nicodemus? We'll talk about him in a second. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Okay? While we're standing, let's take a moment to pray. Let's take a moment to come before God and just quiet our hearts. That last song really spoke to me when it said, not my story. Just catch me up to your story. I want to live in your story. I want to see through your eyes. I want to see what you're seeing. I want to hear what you are saying. I want to live according to your will, not my will. I want to be with you today. Lord, I am tired of my story that I've been writing for myself. I'm tired of the story that the world is writing for me. I'm tired of the story that just circumstances are writing for me, and I'm just riding along. Lord, I want your story. Catch me up to your story today, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I really try to avoid, honestly, I try to avoid today's message. I try to get you something else that's more like, you know, we're back to church, we're happy, and there is enough pain and suffering going on in the world right now. So I really try to make you smile today. But hopefully at the end of the message, we can all smile. So I wanted to do something light. Also, we're trained very well as Christians. When it's December and January or early January, we speak about Christmas. We speak about the birth of Christ, right? When it's around April or so, we speak about the resurrection and the cross and all of that. We're in, what month are we in? Oh, we're in August right now. We shouldn't be talking about burial and, you know, and crucifixion and all of that, but it is the word of God, and it is what God put on my heart. So, and maybe we're going to get a little bit of the story of Christmas today. The burial of Christ is something that I personally didn't pay attention to many times. But when I read it, when I kept reading it, it comes after a very, very long day. Actually, it comes after a couple of long days. Thursday night, Jesus was arrested. You know, Friday, going from one meeting to another, going from one leader to another, going from Pilate to this to that, and everyone is waiting to hear the news. Is it going to be fixed? Is Jesus going to be free? Is our Lord and Savior going to come out of this all of a sudden and, you know, we're going to have the victory we're waiting for? Is Jesus going to be the Jesus we are expecting him and we're hoping that he would be? During those seasons, during those long days, during those long nights, we are waiting for Jesus to just like take off his shirt and just beat everyone up and, you know, make us the victorious army that we should be, right? It comes after that day. It comes after people ran away. His closest and dearest friends ran away from him. Let me tell you, we are living in a season right now that is so painful. So painful to so many people. And it's not just because of the pandemic. It's not just because of the unrest. It's so painful because people are missing the point who God is. We are living in a season that is so long and a night that's very, very, very dark. Our expectations, our hopes, our dreams, everything that we have done, everything that we've heard about, everything that we even preached about, seems like it's just completely gone. It comes in a season, the burial comes in a season where it seems like the enemy has complete control. He has complete control. Like last time we reopened church, I was so happy to come to church finally. But to be honest with you, like just in preparation for it, but to be honest with you, the day or two before, there was so much pain happening, there was so much going on in the country that joy kind of lost its meaning, you know, because so many people are suffering. So many people are, you know, in pain and hurting. People losing their jobs, people losing, you know, their homes, people losing their lives. And it seems like there's no end to it. But we do have some people who are going to stay faithful and bury Jesus. Bury Jesus? Bury Jesus, really? We're going to bury our Lord and Savior. We're going to put him in a tomb. We're going to say that this is over. We're going to say that it's done. It is finished. He can say that because he was doing something completely different than what we had. Am I really going to come to a place where I put all of my hopes and dreams and everything that I believed in, am I really going to take that and put it in a tomb and say it is finished? Am I really willing, like we're going to hear this in a second, in a few minutes. Am I really willing to do that? You know, in right before this verse, there is another verse. Verse 44, it says, it was now about noon. Listen to this. It was now about noon. In the same chapter, Luke 23, it was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining. It was supposed to be daytime. It was supposed to be shiny and sunny outside. According to my calculation, according to what my watch says, according to my plans, it's supposed to be sunny. It's supposed to be nice. According to my plans, I'm supposed to be at the right hand or the left hand of Jesus. According to my plans, things are supposed to go very, very well for me. According to the word of God that I heard, according to the promises of God that He gave me, things are supposed to be looking completely different. It's supposed to be sunny. It's supposed to be nice out. It's supposed to be, the church is supposed to be filled with believers raising their hands and praising God. According to God, I'm doing everything I can. My children are supposed to act nice and be loving and respectful. According to my plans and the things that I dreamt of, things are supposed to look different because it's noon. Because it's daytime. The sun is supposed to do what it's supposed to do, shine. But that long day, there is no light. The sun is not shining. You know, I have, if you look at David's life in 1 Samuel 16, he's doing his job, he's doing his work, and they call him home. And something strange happens to him. You know, when the prophet Samuel goes to his father's house and he says, let me see all of your kids. He brings all of his kids and forgets about David. Great dad, right? And he tells him, no, bring the other one. He comes in and Samuel does something strange. He puts oil on him and the oil probably didn't smell very good. And he was like, you're going to be king. I'm like, okay, all right, I'm going to be king. That sounds good to me. All right, so I'm going to be king. Okay, what should I do? Should I just go be king? How do I become a king? The sun is supposed to be shining. I'm supposed to be king. It's supposed to be warm outside. But it doesn't look like I'm being king. I'm going back to shepherd. I'm going back behind the sheep. Maybe if something else happens. All right, well, I'm going to be a pop star. You know, King Saul had a bad spirit that came on him, right? And someone, one of his assistants said, there is this kid that plays music very well. Am I bothering you by going around? Okay, thank you. There is this kid that plays music very well. He looks like Robin. He sounds like Robin. And, you know, if you bring him to play the guitar and sing for you, you're going to be great. You're going to be fine. He goes to the king and he's like, this is it. This is it. This is my moment of fame. This is the moment I've been waiting for. I'm going to play for the king. He's going to love me. He's going to make me very famous. And maybe one day I'm going to be a king. One of those days he was playing, the king puts, like, what's it called, spear? He hits him so hard with the spear that the spear broke the wall. That wasn't it. Maybe, right? If I become a hero and like fight someone and kill someone like a giant and save Israel, take that last shot, and everyone, the crowd goes wild, and he goes and does that. He becomes a hero and people are singing for him, and he was like, this is my moment. This is my moment. The sun will finally shine. Things are about to work out because I just killed Goliath. Because I just had the victory that's been waiting for me. I just did what no one else was able to do. 40 days, 40 nights, this guy is like coming out and no one can beat him. This is my moment. It was not his moment either. Maybe if I marry the king's daughter. Well, let me kill the giant. I'm going to go marry the king's daughter and I'm going to be the son-in-law and that will help me. Maybe if I get into this relationship, that will give me what I want. Maybe the sun will start shining at this moment. Don't we look at marriages sometimes and those, you know, relationships like, I can't wait because the sun is going to shine once I get engaged, once I have a boyfriend, girlfriend, or, you know, get married. Wait and see. It's going to be great. So wait, I'm being serious. Are you guys laughing? Only the married people started laughing. We need to do some marriage counseling in this church. So maybe this is the moment. Maybe this is the moment where, you know, all of my hopes and dreams will come true. And that doesn't happen, doesn't work either. And instead of marrying the king's daughter and sleeping in a palace or like a mansion, he goes and gets introduced to 400 or 600 miserable men who are so bitter, so lost, so depressed, and he's going from one cave to another hanging out with these guys. Completely different than what I thought. Right? That's not the image I had in mind. That's not the image that I thought. God said, you know, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans to give you rest, plans to do this and this and this. That doesn't look like it. Everything is going wrong. Instead of darkness, but here is instead of the sun, we have darkness. But here is something that we're missing. We often miss. In this verse. You want good news today? Ready? You want a Philip moment? Here it is. It says in verse 44, there was darkness, the sun stopped shining, but listen to this, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. What does that mean? It means that now I have access to God. During those dark, horrible moments, during those moments where everything failed my expectations, during those moments when I'm completely lost and my hopes and my dreams are completely vanished, there is a curtain that was wide open that before I could only come to the front yard. And someone had to carry my transgressions, someone had to take my sins once a year, one time, go into the Holy of Holies. Now that curtain is wide open and I can just go in and access and talk to God face to face. While that image is so dark, while what you're going through, while I'm going through, while this pandemic, the unrest, the unfairness, the injustice, the chaos we're living in, guess what we're missing? The curtain had been open a long, long time ago. And we can come to our Lord and Savior and talk to Him face to face. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. You know, those moments will come and go, right? Those long days, those long nights, where we're supposed to bury something, where we're supposed to even bury someone, where we're lost and hopeless and disappointed, those moments will come and go, right? Seasons will come and go. Seasons of victories will come, seasons of defeat will come, but they will come and go. But that open door to our Lord and Savior, it will not come and go. It just came and that's it. It just opened. There is no way of shutting it down anymore. There is absolutely no one can take that privilege from you and I because Jesus Himself opened that curtain. So, are you guys ready for the message today? I'm serious. Are you ready for the message? All right. Amen. So, we're going to get to the burial of Jesus Christ. Okay? And we're going to see a few characters here. We're going to see Joseph, the man who went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. And I'm going to talk to you about four things. I tried three. Maybe we'll just get to three today. But we'll talk about four things today. We're going to talk about confessing Jesus, worshiping Jesus, following Jesus, and resting with Jesus. Easy, right? Confessing Jesus. Come on. Confessing Jesus, worshiping Jesus, following Jesus, and then resting with Jesus. First, we have this man who was secretly loved God, secretly followed Jesus, secretly a disciple of Jesus. But on the cross, the day where the actual disciples left Jesus, somebody else had to step up. During our darkest days, during our longest times, we can be one of two things. We can run away like the disciples, or we can confess finally Jesus Christ and cry out and proclaim his name over our life. You know, if I decide to run away from Jesus because of the cross, guess what's going to happen? I'm on my own. But if I decide to go during those long, long days and long seasons, unite with God, I will finally be a disciple of Jesus that's no longer hiding. But the problem is, we're scared of confessing Jesus. Because if we confess Jesus, we could be isolated from the society we live in. Right? If we confess Jesus, sometimes we get judged. Who follows Jesus anymore, right? If we confess Jesus, we could be called hypocrites. You know why? Because sometimes our acts or our actions don't match what we say, and that's fine. Let me tell you, it is fine. Because when I fall, when I stumble, he will pick me up again. This is the moment Nicodemus, who came to him one night, and we're going to get to that, Joseph, who was secretly a disciple of Jesus, decided, you know what? We're all in now. After all that he's done for us, we are all in. That moment of taking the responsibility of confessing Jesus while everyone else ran away from him will be a moment that will stay with you for the rest of your life. During the seasons where there is a lot of misunderstandings, during the seasons where I don't get it, during the seasons of pain and tears, when we confess God, something amazing happens to us, and we're gonna get to that in a few minutes. So who is Joseph? Who is Nicodemus? There were two leaders in the council of the Jews, people who are responsible, people who know, who have like authority, and they had something to say. So for them to confess Jesus, oh, I want you to listen to this. For them to confess Jesus, it puts to risk, or actually doesn't put to risk. It means that they have to bury their titles. They have to bury everything that they worked very hard for. For us to confess Jesus, sometimes it will take burying a relationship. That relationship is not from God. And to confess God, you might have to put that, you know, relationship to death. For them to confess Jesus, what Moses, you're no longer going to be the prince of Egypt and the cartoons and all of that, you know. You're no longer to be the prince of Egypt. You're going to be a fugitive. Are you willing to accept that? Are you willing to accept that instead of people going around when you're walking down the market, people like, you know, give you that respect and like to people pointing at you and look at that moron that, you know, confessed to Jesus. Because this is what they were to people so many days and so many times. For us to confess Jesus, we might lose everything. And they were willing to do that. They were willing to say, yes, we will bury him and we will bury everything that we had, everything that we are with him, because that didn't take us anywhere. Because as he arises, as he is resurrected from the grave, he becomes that new seed that gives life to who? To so many others just like you and me. Joseph, Nicodemus, Pastor So, and Reverend, and everyone had to come to a point where I am burying Jesus. I'm confessing Jesus. And I am burying whatever it is that I had, whatever it is that I have. And I'm choosing him. I'm choosing that new creation that will come out of the grave over everything that I lived for. Do you want to bury your dreams? It's not easy, right? Unless there's something better on the other side. Do you want to, you know, when you go trade your car and decide to get into a new car, usually you go trade for something better, right? And you know, it makes you feel like, okay, fine, I'll pay that like extra couple of $100 or whatever, because something better is coming. They had to make that choice to bury and to accept confessing Jesus publicly. Elijah, back in 1 Kings 19, came to the people on the mountain, and he said, how long is it going to be? How long is it going to take for you to make a decision? Are you going to confess God? Are you going to choose God? Or are you going to choose Baal? How long is it going to be? And the Bible says something really amazing. It says, let me read it for you. But the people answered him, not a word. Not a word. When he's asking them to choose, can you finally confess God? Can you finally proclaim God? Can you finally choose God? Can you please make a decision? They answered him, not even with a word. But here's the good news. Ready? Then the fire of the Lord, it's in 1 Kings as well, 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and everything. Guess what happens right after that? When the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. When people saw that there was an accepted sacrifice, they finally confessed that the Lord is God. Have you seen the burnt sacrifice? Do you know that the sacrifice, it was accepted on your behalf? The sacrifice that Jesus gave was accepted on your behalf. Listen to this, Hebrews 10, 12. But this man, talking about Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. The sacrifice was accepted. The sacrifice was accepted that they finally confessed that the Lord is God. The Lord is God. Joseph, Nicodemus, everyone, the centurion, all these people, when they saw that the sacrifice was accepted, they were able to confess and say that the Lord is God. The Lord is God. I pray that you and I can see that our sacrifice was accepted. Not yours and mine. Jesus' sacrifice was accepted. And right now, He is sitting on the throne waiting for you and me to confess and accept what He has for us. Amen? Then they decided not only to go ask for His body, but they decided to honor this body. They decided to worship this body. Listen. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus. They put his body in linen and put it in a new tomb that no one had used before. Jesus' body had to be buried that night. It had to be buried that night to go with everything that he has said in the prophets and in the Old Testament. He had to be buried that night. And if they had left it, if the Jewish people, like leaders, had left it, the Roman soldiers were going to get a hold of that body. Because the next day is the Sabbath. And according to the Jewish law, they cannot leave a body hanging on the cross through the night and to go into through the Sabbath. Somebody had to take that body and bury it. Someone had to honor that body. Someone had to give for that body to be honored and for the word of God to be completed. Joseph and Nicodemus decided that they were going to be those people. One brought 75 pounds of spices. And I was reading some commentaries about it. It could equal now close to $150,000 to $200,000, what they brought. You know, what Nicodemus brought, sorry. And what Joseph offered, he offered the linen, He offered a tomb that was cut in a stone, which means it was very expensive. They gave that day. They didn't only confess God, but that day they gave. They put their words into action. I'm not going to let the Roman soldiers get a hold of this body. They have done enough. The world has done enough to Jesus. His children, his followers, need to do something a little bit more than talking. Can I repeat that again? His children, his followers, need to be those true worshipers. And true worship is not just coming to church, raising our hands, and clapping, and closing our eyes. True worship is putting everything we say, being doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. Burying Jesus was a form of worship to them. They gave. If I go back to the life of Nicodemus, in John 3, we see the first introduction about him. Right? And to Nicodemus, God reveals the heart of Christianity. If I say John 3:16, what would you say? Look at you. Look at you, Christians. You're amazing. Good job. I miss church. This was revealed to who? To Nicodemus. Jesus was having a conversation with Nicodemus that day. And he was telling him, he was teaching him about being born again. Then Nicodemus, one more time, we meet him. But it was not... It was not in John. It was John 7 as well, when the Pharisees and the priests wanted to arrest Jesus. And Nicodemus is trying to secretly help him, right? And said, does our law judge someone from listening to him? Because the Pharisees and the priests went to just kill Jesus, just like someone walked next to him and just kill him. That's all we need to do. And Nicodemus was trying to help. So they answer him by saying, are you crazy? Out of the ghetto, out of Galilee, can anything good come out of Galilee? Well, someone else said that, but that's what it actually meant. Okay? Out of the ghetto, out of this family, out of this person, can I preach here for a second? All right. Forget about this. So, out of Galilee, why don't you search and see, out of this place can anything good come out? Can any prophet, can anyone who speaks the word of God, can anyone who does something good come out of this place? Now we're going to go back to Christmas. Ready? Jesus is born in Bethlehem. So during this conversation, I'm telling you, we're getting Christmas back today. During this conversation, they say he's from Nazarene. But where was Jesus born? Bethlehem, right? So they're judging Jesus because of where he was raised. But they're completely forgetting where he was born. Because in that chapter, in that conversation, they were saying, well, the son of the Savior or the Redeemer or the Messiah should be coming from the city of David. The city of David is Bethlehem. See, they forgot about where Jesus was born. They just judged where Jesus is coming from. Can I tell you something today? Same thing is happening today. They are forgetting who you are. They're forgetting why you were born. Not just where you were born. They were forgetting why you were born. They were forgetting the great and amazing plan that God put in your life and just focusing on where you are right now. We look at our church sometimes and say, that's not the church God promised. Where is it? Where is the promises of God? I look at my health, I look at, things, business or whatever. Like, that's not really what was promised to me. Where is it? Because I'm looking at the current situation. These people were looking at where Jesus was raised, but they did not look at his mission. They did not look at his destiny. They did not look at where he was born and why he was born. They decided to judge based on that and only on that. Nicodemus. That day, all he did, the first time he heard and left. The second time, he heard and tried to say something, tried to do something, but he couldn't. Finally, at the grave, he decided to give him the appropriate burial. He decided to do it right this time. I'm going to worship you, even if your body is dead. I should have worshipped you back in the day when you told me that I should be born again. I should have worshipped you that day when you had no one to stand by your side. I should have worshipped you that day. But you know what? With our God, it's never too late. Even if you're dead in front of me right now, I'm going to worship you with whatever I have. And then we see these amazing women of the Bible following Jesus. And it says that they followed to see where he was put. And here is my revelation in this whole thing. Even if you follow what it seems, what it looks like, did Jesus, go ahead and follow him. Because that will lead you to the resurrected Jesus. They followed to see where the grave is. They followed to see where they can go back and honor Jesus, because they're not done yet. See, when they brought Jesus down from the cross, it was almost nighttime. The sun is about to set. So they couldn't do more. According to the law, they couldn't do more. Is that it? Are they just going to go home? No. These are people that want to love on God. These are people that want to honor God. These are people that want to do what is right regardless. So what they decided to do, first, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to see where he is. But he's dead. It doesn't matter. To you and to me, he might be dead. You know, but to them, he was not dead. To them, they had a job that they had to finish. To them, they were not rest until they settled the matter. That's what we were talking about a couple of days ago. To them, they had a mission to honor that body, to honor that person who gave them everything they have, who gave them this new life. Jesus said to his followers one day, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." I know that the verse stops there, but the thought didn't stop there. You have to finish the thought in this verse, the verse after. "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." I want to follow you, even to the cross, even to the grave, even to the burial, because that's the only way I'm going to find resurrection on Sunday. That's the only way I will know where to come and see the good news. That's the only way I will find that now I am a new creation. They follow Jesus to the cross. And then it says, they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the command. Even until this time, they still wanted to obey God. But they rested. Rested because they know they've done everything they can. They rested because his word, the word of God, tells us so. Rest. You know, I got you. Even if it doesn't look like it right now. Even if it's very dark. Even if it's a long day. Please rest. They rested because God, they did all the work they can do. Now it's time for God to do his work. I can bury Jesus. I can prepare spices. I can follow him. I can confess him. But no one can resurrect him other than God. So now it's time for God to do his work. Rest because Sunday morning is about to come. Sunday morning is about to come. Say this with me. Sunday morning is about to come. Sunday morning is coming to your house. Sunday morning is coming to your family. Sunday morning is coming to our church. Sunday morning is coming to your health. Sunday morning is coming to your friends. Sunday morning is coming to our spirits. Sunday morning is coming. Sunday morning is coming. You better be assured that Sunday morning came and it will still come in your life and in my life. The only thing is, when Sunday morning comes, are you going to know where to go? Do we know where to go Sunday morning? When they say that he resurrected, do we know? Do we know where to go? When they say there is a resurrection, let me ask that question again. When they say there is resurrection, do we know where to go? Do we know how? Do we know where he was? Do we know who he is? When Sunday morning came, you know, they went there to the tomb and found nothing. And they received the good news there, and they went out telling everyone. When they were going there, they were worried about the soldiers. They were worried about the seal. They were worried about the rock, right? And when they got there, all of those worries were completely taken away. Sunday morning is coming, regardless of what seal was put there. Sunday morning is coming, regardless of who is guarding that Sunday morning. Sunday morning is coming, regardless of how big and huge that rock is. Sunday morning is coming. You know, it's not the best of thing that we look forward to bury something or to bury someone, right? Burying something is not easy for any of us. Not at all. Especially if it's something that we've put so many hopes and dreams on. Burying my dreams is never easy. Burying my hopes, never easy. Burying a relationship, never easy. Never. But while we bury, we need to confess God. We tell him that you're in control. I am burying this thing. I'm burying my title. I'm burying my hope. I'm burying my plans. I'm burying this. But I know you're still alive. I am killing this dream that I had. But I know you're still alive. And you're going to give me something better. You've waited for your son for all these years. All these years you've been waiting for Isaac. And now we're about to kill him and bury him? Sure. Because God has something better for me. Burying someone, burying something is not easy, but when we follow God while we're doing it, when we're confessing God, when we're following God, it's going to make a difference. Because I'm not actually burying, I'm actually receiving life. Because God is substituting what I had to what he has. And you can tell the difference. You can tell the difference in everyone who decided to bury what they had and receive what he has. Let's pray. Lord, I pray today that we wouldn't just confess you with words, even though it's necessary that we do that, because we've been hiding for so long. We have been hiding and staying silent for so long. I pray that today we would confess you and worship you in action. Do something about it in action. I pray that we know today that we're not following a dead Savior, but we are following the living God. I pray that we learn how to bury on the cross, bury our desires in the tomb, in the grave, on the cross, so we can receive the power of resurrection. I pray today that we would leave everything and follow you. I pray today that we can rest on the promises that you gave us. We want to live your story today, not ours. Today, Lord, I pray that we can see that glimpse of hope that comes from the split curtain, that the veil is all completely gone now, and we can walk into the holies, and we can walk in and talk to you face to face. I thank you, Lord, because you still believe in the original plan you had for me, even if I messed it up, even if it doesn't look nothing like what you planned. You still can restore, you can still redeem. I thank you because you gave the chance to Joseph and Nicodemus to redeem themselves, and today you can give us as a church that same chance. You can give us as individuals the same chance to confess you before others, to worship you with our actions, to follow you, and to rest, knowing that you are in control. Lord, help us to see the things that we cannot bury, and help us take up the cross and bury it. Not just crucified, but bury it. We want the new life. We want the new life. We want to be that new creation. Take a few moments and ask God to open your eyes and my eyes to the things that we cannot bury. The titles, the dreams, the hopes, the relationships, whatever it is. The plans. And take an extra step to actually bury it. Give something. Because he gave it all. Because what you're holding on right now will not save you or not save me. It has no value. But when we give, and when we worship our God, and we become doers of the word, resurrection happens. These amazing sisters, these amazing women, after the very long day, after the very long season, after the pain and suffering that they saw, after that nightmare they lived, they didn't give up. They still went and followed their Lord and Savior. I pray that we keep following our Lord and Savior even during that time when everything seems like it's gone. Your Sunday is coming. Your Sunday is here. Actually, your Sunday is here. Your Sunday is here. Your resurrection is here. Your breakthrough is here. Your moment is right now.
Let's all stand up as we just sing this last song together. And though the music changes in the songs we sing, we still lift our praises to our loving God and King. Though the music changes in the songs we sing, we still lift our praises to our loving God and King. To our loving God and King. And all the seasons change. And all the seasons change. Change. Your love.
faithful to plant the seeds, and you will be faithful to always in your know that regardless of where we're at, whether we are far or whether we are close,
Whether we're going through the worst times or whether we're going through the best times, your love is the same. And it's not a normal kind of love, but your love is everlasting and unconditional, Lord God. I thank you for all the times that I failed you, that we failed you, that we messed up, that we ran away. Your love stayed exactly the same. Your arms were still wide open, and you still wanted us to come back to you, God. I thank you that we can look to the future and say, if anything goes wrong or if anything seems wrong, your love is here and I will be okay. Teach us more of your love, God. Show us more of your love, God. We want to know you. And we thank you for the love that you've showed us this morning. For the first time as we've came back as a church, Lord God. May you continue to show your love with us. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Have an amazing day, guys. It's good seeing you once again, and we'll see you guys next week. God bless.